If you have a Bible with you tonight, would you turn with me, please, to the Gospel according to Matthew, Matthew's Gospel, and to the 25th chapter of the Gospel of Matthew. We're going to read from the opening verse, Matthew chapter 25. Matthew 25 and verse 1, the Word of God says, "Then shall the kingdom of heaven be likened unto 10 virgins which took their lamps and went forth to meet the bridegroom. 5 of them were wise and 5 were foolish. They that were foolish took their lamps and took no oil with them. But the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps. While the bridegroom tarried, they all slumbered and slept. And at midnight there was a cry made, 'Behold, the bridegroom cometh. Go ye out to meet him.' Then all those virgins arose and trimmed their lamps. And the foolish said unto the wise, 'Give us of your oil, for our lamps are gone out.' But the wise answered, saying, 'Not so, lest there be not enough for us and you. But go ye rather to them that sell and buy for yourselves.' And while they went to buy, the bridegroom came, and they that were ready went in with him to the marriage, and the door was shut. Afterward came also the other virgin, saying, 'Lord, Lord, open to us.' But he answered and said, 'Verily, I say unto you, I know you not. Watch therefore, for ye know neither the day nor the hour wherein the Son of Man cometh.'" Amen. We'll end our reading there at verse 13. Let's just bow a wee word of prayer once again and ask the help of the Lord upon the ministry of his precious word. Father in heaven, we thank thee again tonight for thy presence already with us. We thank thee, Lord, for the hymns of Zion that we have been singing together about our soon coming Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. And our Father, our cry and our prayer before thy throne of grace tonight would be that every person gathered in this church service this evening and those who are listening, we pray, Lord, that they may be ready. As the old hymn writer says, "When the bridegroom cometh, will your robes be white, pure and white through the blood of the Lamb? Will your soul be ready for the mansions bright? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb?" We pray tonight that as our meeting would come to a close, that some dear precious soul may cry out like one of old, "Then, O my God, prepare my soul for that great day, and wash me in Christ's precious blood. Take all my sins away." Lord, be with us now. Shut us in with thyself. Bless the preaching of thy word, for we ask all these things in the Savior's name and for God's eternal glory. Amen. Now, this passage of scripture that we have read together this evening is often called the parable of the 10 virgins. Falls into a section in Matthew's gospel where the Lord Jesus Christ is teaching and telling the people about his coming back again to this scene of time. And of course, it was hard for the disciples to follow and to understand all the things that the Savior was teaching them. Oftentimes he taught them and he said, "The Son of Man must go to Jerusalem, and there he's going to be betrayed, there he's going to be crucified." And how they wanted to resist that teaching that the Lord Jesus was telling them. But he also reminded them that if he would go to Jerusalem and he would be betrayed by Judas Iscariot and the chief priests and the scribes and the people, and they would cry, "Away with him and crucify him," he told them that on the third day he would rise again from the dead. Then he would ascend to the right hand of the majesty on high, and One day he will come back again in power and in great glory. As I was reading through this parable once again, the story of the 10 virgins, and the Bible speaks about those who were wise. 5 were wise and 5 were foolish. Speaks about the wise having the oil in their lamps. Speaks about the foolish having no oil in their lamps. Talks about those who went in to the marriage. And it speaks about those who were left outside because the door was shut. Speaks about those who really were in time and went in. And those who were too late and were left outside and who cried, "Lord, Lord, open to us." The Lord said, "Verily, I say unto you, I know you not." Very solemn passage of Scripture. And there are so many valuable and important lessons that we can draw from this parable as told by our Savior himself. But I want tonight just to think of a few very, very simple truths from this passage of Scripture. And I want you to notice, particularly as we think about the 5 foolish virgins, 5 foolish who were left outside when they came, the door was shut, and so they were shut out. But as we think about them, it's good to remember what way the wedding feast would take place in that culture and in that land. Somewhat different from the way we celebrate a marriage and celebrate a wedding here in Northern Ireland. You see, the bridegroom, he would be at his home. He would be celebrating with all his friends and all his relations. And they would gather together in the house of the bridegroom, and they would be celebrating this upcoming marriage. And meanwhile, as the bridegroom, perhaps as it were on one side of the town or the village or the city, on the other side where his bride lives, she is celebrating with all her friends and her family and her relations, and they've all gathered in, and why they're looking forward to this great celebration of this upcoming marriage. When the celebrations were deemed sufficient, the bridegroom would leave his part, his home. And it's interesting to think, you know, when the Lord Jesus Christ talked about heaven, he says, "In my Father's house there are many mansions." And oftentimes it was so that the bridegroom, working there at the Father's house and the Father's home on the Father's land, there would be built a new place for him and for his bride. And so he would come through the city, and he would come with celebration, and it would be like a parade, and they would come, and they would sing, and they would make music, and he would come to meet with his bride, and the marriage ceremony would be performed, and then he would take her home to the Father's house, to his home. And isn't that just a picture of what the Lord Jesus says concerning the people of God, those who are cleansed in the blood of Christ and born of the Holy Spirit? He has gone to prepare a place for us. And the church is described in the Bible as the bride of Christ. That's why the Apostle Paul told the people, he said, "Husbands, love your wives even as Christ loved the church and gave himself for it." One day Christ will come like the bridegroom in the parable, to take his church, the bride, take us home to glory. And the church that down here is filled with all its imperfections and its faults and its failures, the apostle says he will present it faultless, spotless, before the Father. So we're reading this parable, and we're thinking about the 10 virgins who were keeping watch and waiting for the bridegroom to come to the bride's home. But as we think particularly about the 5 foolish virgins, I want you to notice that a great truth that is emphasized here in this passage of Scripture is that the Bible says in verse 10, "And while they went to buy, the bridegroom came, and they that were ready went in with him to the marriage, and the door was shut." It speaks about those who were ready, and those who were ready went in to the marriage. And I want to call that tonight a stark reality. A stark reality. One that should waken us up. One that should cause us to think and realize that as the prophet of God Amos preached to Israel, he said, "Prepare to meet thy God, O Israel." Because everyone needs to be saved. We were born in sin and shapen in iniquity. The Bible says we were sinners by birth. We are sinners by nature. We are sinners by practice. But thank God, we can be saved. But there's only one way in which we can be saved, and the Lord Jesus Christ is that way. So here's the stark reality. 5 of the virgins were foolish, and they were not ready. They were not prepared when the bridegroom came. If you were to think about it long and hard, you would realize that outwardly they looked all right. You see, the Bible talks here about the 10 virgins in verse 1, which took their lamps and went forth to meet the bridegroom. And outwardly, those 10 virgins waiting with their lamps on the bridegroom, the foolish, just like the wise, the foolish looked all right. It's as if everything was well with them. But in reality, and the stark reality is, they were not ready when the bridegroom came. You know, there's so many men and women in churches, and they look right. And as far as this world is concerned, the life that they live is a good life. They do their best. They help their neighbor. They try to be a good citizen. They try to follow the golden rule in many, many ways. But if they don't know Christ as their own personal Savior, even though outwardly they look right, they're not ready. Not ready. Because the Bible talks about being yet in your sin, being without God, without Christ, and therefore without hope in this world. And the Bible speaks here about 10 virgins, and we can say outwardly they looked right, and morally they were upright. They all had the same moral character. And the Bible says that the 10 virgins, the wise and the foolish, they were out there, and they went forth to meet the bridegroom. So we can say outwardly they looked right, and morally they were upright, and intellectually they knew what was right. They were in the right place. They were doing the right thing. Until after a while, the wise and the foolish, they all slumbered and slept. But intellectually, they knew what was right. Perhaps tonight, as I preach the gospel here in Ballymoney, We preach to men and women, and maybe from your childhood, from your earliest days, you remember Sunday school, you remember faithful Sunday school teachers, you may remember gospel meetings, gospel missions, and intellectually, you have had a copy of the Bible, the Word of God, and you know what is right, and you know the way of salvation. I had the great joy of pointing a dear woman to Christ one night after a gospel evening of praise up in the Radisson Hotel. I had led her husband to Christ 38 years before. He had prayed for his wife for 38 years, and she came to know Christ. But let me tell you, oftentimes in her experience, even before she had become a Christian, if the people who were coming peddling a false cult came to her door and they began to speak to her, she knew what was right. She knew the Scriptures. And she would certainly send them on their way, as we would say, with a flea in her ear. Because she knew what was right, but yet she hadn't come and put her faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. Because spiritually, they were not right. Five wise were ready, and they went in. So many men and women in this world in which we live, the Bible says a natural man does not comprehend the things of God. Oftentimes they are foolishness to him. And they have tried by legislation and by keeping of the law, and they have tried by education, and they've tried by reformation of life, and they've tried all these things, but what they really need is a transformation by the power of God, the Holy Spirit, in their heart and life. So here's the stark reality. Men and women, by nature, are not ready for when Christ will come or when Christ should call them out to meet him. We were singing that hymn tonight. I know not when my Lord may come, at night or noonday fair, or if I shall go through the valley of death, if I shall pass the veil of death, or meet him in the air. But the apostle says, I know whom I have believed, and I'm persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. See, the stark reality is, without Christ, we're not ready. We may have the church, we may have baptism, we may have our good works, we may have our good deeds, we may have our good thoughts, we may be a philanthropist, we may do our best, we may try all we can, but if we haven't Christ, we've missed it. And the stark reality is, only those who were ready went in. As I read down that parable, I thought, that's a great truth, but there's another great truth there in verse 5. It says, while the bridegroom tarried. There's a stark reality here, but then you'll notice there's a saving opportunity here. The bridegroom is at his father's house. They're celebrating. They're getting ready to make their way to the bride's home. And the Bible says, while the bridegroom tarried. What men speak about in our modern day, they talk about a window of opportunity. They talk about a time. And in the Old Testament scriptures, you remember that God said to a dear man, call your child Methuselah. Bible says Enoch walked with God after he begot Methuselah. And Methuselah's name literally meant that when he is dead, it shall come to pass. Speaking about a judgment. And perhaps that's why God allowed Methuselah to live for 969 years. Because God is not willing that any man or woman should perish, but that all should come to repentance. And then God gave no other word that I'm going to send a judgment, I'm going to send a flood upon the earth. And Noah was a preacher of righteousness for 120 years. But then there came a time and God said, Noah, come into the ark. And the day of opportunity was finished. And when Noah and his wife and his family were in the ark, God shut the door. We read about a prophet. Sometimes he's called the reluctant prophet, the prophet Jonah. And God told him to go to Nineveh and to preach. He didn't like the Ninevites. He didn't like their heathen worship. He didn't want to go. And so he headed the wrong way. And you know the story about Jonah. But when Jonah finally obeyed God, came into the great city of Nineveh, and he brought God's message, and God's message was in Jonah chapter 2 and verse 21. Yet 40 days and Nineveh will be overthrown. Yet 40 days and Nineveh shall be overthrown. And those people who worship the fish god Dagon, seeing this prophet who had been swallowed by a great fish and he was vomited up on the shore. And as he walked through their city, and it was a big city, and he preached and he said, yet 40 days and Nineveh shall be overthrown, from the king on the throne to the very beast on the field. They clothed them with sackcloth. And they repented and turned to God. They grasped the opportunity that was presented to them. See, there's a saving opportunity. But in the last book of the Bible, in the book of Revelation, we read there in the book of Revelation of a church. And God speaks to that church. And God says in Revelation 2 and verse 21, verse 20 rather, notwithstanding I have a few things against thee, because thou sufferest that woman Jezebel, which calleth herself a prophetess, to teach and seduce my servants to commit fornication and to eat things sacrificed to idols. And I gave her space to repent of her fornication, and she repented not. Isn't it a wonderful thing that God loves even the deepest dyed sinner? Isaiah came with God's message. Though your sins be as scarlet, though your sins be red like crimson, God can deal with them. They'll be whiter than the snow. They'll be as white as wool. God says there's a false prophetess. And God says, I gave her space to repent. I gave her opportunity. But here's the epitaph across her life and her death. She repented not. She repented not. Dear friend, what will we say about your life? Will you be like those people in the city of Nineveh who heard the message, who turned from their sin, who put their trust in Christ, who came in repentance and cried for mercy? Or would you go on stubbornly in your own way and sin? Like Jezebel, who repented not. There's a stark reality in this parable. And there's a saving opportunity spoken of in verse 5. You'll notice there's a solemn tragedy in verse 10. And when they went to buy, the bridegroom came, and they that were ready went in with him to the marriage. And the door was shut. The door was shut. so when they came and they cried, it was too late. Time had passed them by. The day of opportunity was finished. It says there, while the bridegroom tarried, they slumbered and slept. They slumbered and slept away the day of grace. The opportunity that was given to them. And now it says the door was shut. And they're on the outside. And they're lost. Without God. Without Christ. Without hope. Isn't that a tragedy? Men and women who hear the message, but who don't heed the message. That's why it is emphasized in the scriptures. The Bible says, today, if you will hear his voice, harden not your heart. That's why the apostle says, now is the accepted time. Now is the day of salvation. Because the Bible says, boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. Tomorrow's sun may never rise for you or for me. That's why we need to be ready. And of course, there was only one way. There was a singular remedy. They cried unto the Lord. They cried to the bridegroom. It's sad to say their cry was too late. The old gospel hymn says, O sinner, God's patience may weary someday, and leave thy sad soul in the blast. By willful resistance you've drifted away over the dead line at last. Scripture reminds us that when Paul preached to King Agrippa, Agrippa said, Paul, almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian. And we've said it so many times, there are no almost Christians in heaven. It's only those who, as Paul said, are altogether persuaded and who receive Christ as Savior. Almost cannot avail. Almost is but to fail. Sad, sad the bitter wheel. Almost but lost. Friend, don't be like the foolish virgins in that parable. But be ready. Get right with God. As the Bible says in the prophecy of Isaiah, seek ye the Lord while he may be found, and call upon him while he is near. And Jeremiah, speaking on God's behalf, says, ye shall seek me and ye shall find me if you seek me with all your heart. Will you seek the Lord tonight with all your heart? Dear friend, I'm your servant for Jesus' sake. And I'd love to pray with you. You might come to know Christ as your own and personal Savior. You might know your sins are forgiven and that it is well with your soul. Don't leave this meeting without getting right with God. Let's bow together, please, as we bring our meeting to a close. As I said, I'm your servant for the Lord Jesus Christ's sake. If I can be of any help to you spiritually, to help you to Christ, then, dear friend, come and speak to us, even as others perhaps go for a cup of tea and a time of fellowship. Just tell us of your need. And let us show you from God's word, God's way. And you come, and you put your faith and trust and our Savior, the Lord Jesus.